Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Yeah, I think I think our bench has done better as a whole, but Bobby's done well. I just hope his hammy's not bad, because that's a tough one to play with. But he was explosive today. You know, he didn't shoot it from the perimeter, but he got to the cup. And he's a good defender. And, you know, it may not seem like much, but with the foul trouble we played through with Grady and Kevin and KJ, if our bench wasn't good, we don't win tonight. And so that was a good thing to see.
And has the game plan been more recently for DeJuan to attack the basket more, because it seems that he's been getting in the room more often?
Yeah, no question. He's got to look to score. And then we talk about that each and every day. He and KJ both need to look to score.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. Last night, you heard it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas beat Kansas State 90-78. Part of the broadcast team to call the game now joins us, Greg Gurley. Hello, Greg.
What's up, boys? I can't believe you kept this interview. I thought it'd be all Tom Brady for 4 hours.
If Gary Lezak hosted the show, it would be. But thankfully, we will pass on that opportunity. But I heard you were at the wheel with Travis Kelce last night. How did that go?
Actually, I wasn't. We were back at the pad. I can't believe we didn't go there, but
right.
Surprisingly, we were not there.
Can we? Wish you would have been there.
Yeah. Do we have this cleaned up this time, Marco? Like all of the.
Does that matter at this point?
Well, should I say I was there? I mean, it's kind of like when I go around, I've probably met 150 different people that played with Wilt Chamberlain. There's just no way to prove it, I guess. And so,
right.
Kind of a similar deal. I should have just said I was there.
Yeah, kind of like how you like to brag that you were with me if I was out somewhere. Oh, yeah, I was there. I was hanging out with Nate.
Nope.
Yeah. I was with, yesterday I was with Nate at Chocolate Soup picking out a new sport coat for him.
Nate wears clothes from Chocolate Soup.
Is that clearly that's a kid children's store? But I've never heard of it.
I don't know if it's still open, but it was a children's store. Yeah,
Chocolate soup.
That's all I got today.
All right, good. We're gonna try this because our on-air audience didn't get to hear this because we had to dump it because.
I think they heard it.
Well, I know our online audience heard it.
I think everyone heard it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if Marco cleaned all the foul language up. But this was Barstool Sports, Greg, with Travis Kelce trying wheel pizza with a bunch of college students telling him he's the greatest of all time. And he ranks wheel pizza right here.
That's all time! That's all time!
Bro. All time, bro!
What we think?
Hey, how's the wheel pizza?
You know the rules.
I'm a little tipsy. It's about a 9. It's a solid 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Hey, let's go. Hey,
give me 6 more beers. It might be a 10.
Your thoughts, Greg.
Your reaction, Greg.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Wheel Pizza, it's an institution just like the wheel, and I give it I've had it many, many times after, like he said, 9 to 12 to 15 beers, and it's the best pizza you can have after that many beers.
You agree, Nate?
Yeah, I don't know if my little tummy could ever fit 9 to 12 to 15 beers, but I definitely love a wheel pizza.
Yeah, they The Sloyers just bought that, and they're getting it back rolling. And Wheel Pizza again, it's an institution here in Lawrence.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Okay, I need to clear up some controversy that that Marco made me aware of. So apparently, during the broadcast, Greg, you expressed your opinion that you thought that the best player last night on the floor was Dewan Harris, while Nate Bucati today has said that it was Kevin McCullough. And so I'd like you guys to debate this and decide who's right, please.
It's a fair question and point. It's a lot of pressure. You know, Brian makes me pick the player of the game, and you know, it's pretty quick after the end, obviously. And I looked at Dewan on both ends of the floor. A complete game, really forced Noel. You know, he's 5 of 18 in that game, and that was primarily Dewan Harris. Then he has a career high 18 points. Obviously, Kevin McCullough, another double double. He's been so good on the glass. But I went with Dewan Harris, and it's not the most prestigious award, the Greg Gurley Player of the Game. So I think we're spending way too much time on it. So, Nate, go ahead with your extremely long rebuttal.
Well, first of all, Greg, I know this will shock you, but it's possible that Steven made that up and that I haven't said anything about who should be the player of the game today.
Marco!
But I'll
what
go,
did you tell me?
Did you? What?
Say what? Huh?
What did you tell me?
What did I tell you?
What did you tell me before the segment?
I told you that Greg Gurley and Dewan Harris is his player of the game, and you do what you will with that information.
So what?
But you told me Nate had Kevin McCullough.
I said you could say Nate had Kevin McCullough, just to spark a debate.
What are you? What is wrong with you?
Just trying to do my job.
He's too busy He's too busy not cleaning up the foul language from Kelsey on a video.
So let me throw him under the bus then. And so he told me, Greg said that Dejuan Harris was the player of the game. I said, who? And he said, Dejuan Harris. I said, who? He goes, Dewan. I think I'm messing his name up. I said, okay, thank you. Yep. So.
Well, no, you corrected me. Here, I'll throw myself further under the bus.
Okay, there you go.
So I'll go ahead and argue the point, though. Let's have some fun with it. Kevin McCullough, 16 points, 10 rebounds, fills up the stat sheet, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a blocked shot while fouling out in 30 minutes. We'll get to the fouls in a minute. Whether or not he's the player of the game, to me, is less important, Greg, as to how important it is for Kansas that he play well, particularly offensively, because during that 3-game losing streak, it seemed like the common theme was Jalen Wilson just wasn't getting much help offensively. Maybe some help from Grady Dick, but nobody else seemed to be stepping up. Both Harris and McCullough being in double figures, and McCullough seemed like he was going through a pretty rough shooting slump for a while there. How important is that development just for Kansas and their chances to win the Big 12 this year?
Well, you said it during that 3-game losing streak, Dewan, KJ, and Kevin all had bad stretches in those 3 games. And when you add it all up, you go on a 3-game losing streak. So Saturday at Rupp Arena, Kevin, KJ, and Dewan were really good, and we win. Last night, same thing. Jalen and Grady can't do it all. Because defenses can take them away. Grady didn't play well last night. Jalen played well in the first half. You needed those other guys. And when you have a short bench like we have, and that bench is even shorter with Zuby being out, those guys are even more important. So we have to have them. You have to have options out there. And that's what K-State's dealing with, is it Noel and Johnson. Who are the other guys? Will Carter, Will Sills, Will Tomlin, whoever. You got to have that third, fourth, and fifth guy, because option one and two aren't always going to be on, and if you don't have a supporting cast, you just can't do it. It was strange that Kevin was struggling, because some of those things were mental. I mean, he was making free throws, he was turning the ball over, all correctable things, and in that 3-game losing streak, the game in Manhattan, I mean, he didn't score. I mean, he missed both his free throw. Everything that he did was just like he wasn't out there. And that was so rare for a veteran guy like Kevin that we were fortunate to get in the transfer portal, because you don't have to worry about him. You have to, here he is. He knows how to play hard. He knows how to play defense. He makes smart plays. And he just wasn't doing that. So he had a bit of a reboot. And then he was fantastic at Rupp Arena, and then even better last night in Lawrence.
And the when it comes to guys contributing outside of Wilson and Dick, the bench was a big difference. Last time around, K-State massively outscored Kansas in terms of bench points. This time, KU outscores K-State 19-9 when it comes to bench points. Uday played 10 minutes. Clements played 15 minutes. Is that something you think we'll continue to see as the season goes on? Will we start to see a little more contributions, especially from the bigs off the bench for KU?
Probably more so on the bigs, because you know Bill wants to limit minutes so Jalen Wilson doesn't play 38 minutes every night. So the guards, he'd like to set them down a little bit, but it comes to a trust factor. Like, does he trust the backups? Does he trust Bobby and Joe, and maybe MJ gets in there? So that's one side on the perimeter. For the bigs, for sure, it's going to be Ernest, because Zuby's out, sounds like, at least for a couple weeks. And so that's going to be Ernest, first guy off the bench. And then Zach, who had some good minutes last night. You know, he had a nice and one in the second half and hit a three when we went on that run late in the first half. So, you know, Zach's biggest thing is going to be defense and physicality and athleticism. Can he stay on the court and do what Bill Self wants him to do? And with that, with KJ, you get it. But lately, KJ's been getting himself in foul trouble. I mean, last night was, what was it, 71 free throws were attempted, and it was a choppy game. And just sometimes when guys would just make a move and there'd be a hand check on both sides of the floor, they call it, and then you go at the rim, and there was tons of contact, and there was nothing. So it was a bit of a head-scratcher last night, even though the free throws were basically equal. It wasn't lopsided, I don't think, but it was a game in which three veteran officials decided to call it tight. And again, that made for a choppy game. It was either a three-pointer or a free throw last night for a long time.
Yeah, 47 total fouls called and 71 free throws, free throw attempts, 36 for K-State and 35 for Kansas. I saw a lot of people reacting that, you know this it ruins the game for them. It makes college basketball very difficult to watch. We've talked about this. It seems like the officials got their marching orders, and this is what they want. But I don't know. I mean, if you're just an average fan, what do you think of this?
You know, with about 40 seconds to go in the game, it's over. You know, they're trying to dribble it out, and they call a little hand check out top on Kansas. Right. You're like, Jerome Tang and Bill are like, okay, let's get out of here. And it was just, I don't know. Tough game to officiate, very physical, a lot of emotion, a lot of adrenaline. I get it. But, man, it was, there was a sequence of events where we thought we got fouled on one, and the other, same exact play, thought K-State got fouled. And then the next time down, they call a little touch foul. So it was a head-scratcher.
Self, after the game, said he feels like the refs are just executing their marching orders from the league, that the league's tired of hearing everybody talk about how rough and tumble the Big 12 is, and how he called it it's a rock fight every night when you play in this league, and they're maybe reacting to that, and they're trying to send a message right now. Do you think that's what's at play here? And if so, do you adjust to it, or do you just assume that they kind of give up on that at some point?
Well, you're going to have to adjust. We talked a month ago when we went to Lubbock, and there were six team fouls called on Texas Tech in a 40-minute game. And since then, like, there was a lot of talk about that, so there sounds like there were some marching orders like, hey, we can't have that. You know, Kansas goes down there and wins. Everyone's mad. You thought Kansas got a great whistle in that game because of the last play, but when you really look at everything, the foul discrepancy was massive. I don't know. It sounds like they got their orders. And Bill's right. I don't blame the official. Just like when you watch an NFL game, whether it's, you know, roughing the passer, those refs are calling it the way they're told to call it. It's not necessarily their fault. Now, we saw them swallow the whistle at times on Sunday and then other times didn't. So, I again, head scratcher. There's marching orders. It is what it is. And the bottom line is players and coaches have to adjust. And but it's easier said than done because different crews call it different ways. So you got to get into the flow of the game and figure out the way it's being called and stop playing with your hands. And you have to put your hands almost behind your back because the second you touch a guy's hip, they're going to blow a whistle.
So one of the things that Self was also asked last night, and this was by our own Tud Leaboo, was what's it going to take to win this league? Because we are at the halfway point now, and Texas has the lead with a 7-2 record, and then there's four teams tied right behind them, one game behind at 6-3, Kansas being one of those teams. Self said five losses might be good enough to win the league. Almost definitely wins it for you, and we might be looking at a team that maybe loses as many as six games, winning a share of the league. Halfway point of the season, what do you think it's going to take to win the Big 12?
I think he's right, and I said it last week or maybe the week before. I thought 13-5 would get a share. Obviously, 14-4 I think would win it outright. We're going to find out a lot about ourselves at Kansas in the next two games, at Iowa State, Hilton Coliseum on Saturday, early start, and then 48 hours later playing Texas at home on a big Monday. And those two games, you win them both, you're in the driver's seat. You drop one or two, and you're going to fall behind, especially if you lose to Texas, who's got sole possession of first. So even though there's nine games left to play, the next two games, I think, will tell us a ton.
And Iowa State, Stephen's been talking about this a lot the last few days, a couple days since it happened. The loss that they just suffered at Texas Tech when they had a massive lead in the game, and Texas Tech had not won a conference game yet. Those are the kind of losses that you really want to try to avoid if you're going to get to that total that you're talking about to win the league. But you got to think that means it's going to be a very angry Iowa State team that the Jayhawks play this weekend. Preview that game for us a little bit up in Hilton.
Well, it's always an angry game up there. Those fans at Hilton Coliseum do not like us. They boo every call, and you're definitely a man on an island up there. There's nobody cheering for you. Frustrating night for them in Lubbock. I was at dinner and I saw they were up 23, and I got home and I turned the game on and it was a 4-point game. Then they had every opportunity to win that game and they were down one and were just jacking fadeaway threes, like not getting to the basket. It was a really surprising end of the game because they still could have won it. And you're right, two games in a row that they've lost, got blown out at Missouri, and then they lose at Texas Tech. So they're going to be an angry team, an angry fan base. Regardless, two-game winning streak, two-game losing streak, don't matter. They don't like us. We haven't played well on the road in conference. When you have the K-State and the Baylor losses in there, we could have won both those games, obviously, but we didn't. So we've got to get off the schneid and understand that we got to have the same effort that we had Saturday at Rupp and last night. We played a cohesive unit. There was chemistry. Defensively, we were good, not great, but Iowa State can shoot you into a game and shoot you out of it. Kalsher and Grill are great when they're hitting, but they also take some bad shots. So we got to make sure you get hands up. We got to make them shoot over our hands, find the shooters. We got to get bodies on people so we can get rebounds and get out in transition. But they got a great team. I mean, they got all the pieces. They got a couple big guys now that are better than what they've had in the past. They kind of control the middle and defend. So it's going to be a great game. And once again, they're going to be itching, just like we were Saturday after a three-game losing streak. They don't like losing two games in a row. And it was a tough stretch for them, too. You put them on the road at Columbia, then 2 days later you're on the road to Lubbock. That's where the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which is going away, kind of hurts you, even though we like it when you play it. I thought it was unfair to the teams that had to play on Monday night. I mean, you play Saturday an SEC team, and then two teams had to play Monday night, and I thought that was bad scheduling. But it's what it is. If it's on your schedule, do it. Same with us. We got to go up to Ames and just be a unit and understand that this will mean a ton as we move forward in the Big 12. Got to win on the road.
You get heckled up there, Greg, up in Ames?
You know, not like by name or anything, just because I'll have a blue quarter zip on or whatever. So they don't say girl. They don't know who I am, nor should they. But I try to avoid that one guy that wanted to fight Bill.
Mel Weatherwax.
Is he still there? Does he still go to the games?
I think he's been up there. Yeah, he sits courtside. Like, he's a big donor of theirs. And he was just really angry that Elijah had 45 or whatever, and Bill somehow, I don't know what he did other than coach us to a victory, but he does not like something.
Elijah dunked the ball at the end of the game.
That guy's looking for a strap.
That's what got him all mad. Yeah, he was.
God forbid you would dunk in an opposing gym.
Yeah, you don't want to cross him. It's Weatherwax.
I think that's what it was, Mel Weatherwax.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a hard name to forget.
He had his dukes up.
Like Gurley.
put your dukes up, Gurley. Okay, Greg. Well, Greg,
get
thank
yourself
you so
a
much
walking taco while you're up there, though. That's the big thing.
Is that a walking taco?
A walking? You never had a walking taco all the times you've been to Hilton?
No. No, I haven't. Well, we're getting there Friday night. I'll have to go check it out. I mean, we do that.
What about that place? Yeah, that's the ice cream place, right?
Yeah. The barbecue's so good there that they're famous for their ice cream.
Yeah, man. You sent me there, and I was underwhelmed.
I'm kind of with you on that, Nate. Good spot. But, I mean, it wouldn't be in my top five in Kansas City.
No, not even top 10. But the walking taco you get inside Hilton Coliseum is basically they just open up a Doritos bag and put all of the ingredients that go in a taco, and you eat with a fork. It's delicious.
Oh, well, I typically don't go to the concession stands on the road.
Yeah, you're too fancy for that.
I don't know if you, Greg, I don't be know up if there you guys know how broadcasting works. You know, you sit down there in press row and you do your job. You know, you don't really go buy beers and stuff. You bring your own beer.
Sorry, man.
I just keep thinking about Greg going up there and standing in line at the concession stand, getting a walking taco, walking back down to the broadcast table.
You know, my last year doing the KU women's basketball games, I was like, you know, I knew it was my last year. And I wanted to kind of check out things in each town that maybe I hadn't done before. And so I was asking people, and they're like, you got to get a walking taco at Hilton Coliseum. So you get there early, Greg, before, you know, when it opens up, before there's a line, you go up there, grab yourself a walking taco and enjoy yourself like a gentleman.
But that's so not unique. That's like every place has that.
Walking tacos?
Well, yes.
That was
I think I bought one at Quick Trip the other day.
you buy them at Quick Trip.
Is that right?
You can.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what they told me they're famous for at Hilton Coliseum.
You get them camp at St. Joe. I mean, no, you get them at Quick Trip.
Well, now I feel silly. I don't know.
Now is the time you feel
just,
silly?
Just finally.
Yeah, how do they claim that?
I don't know.
That's like everywhere.
I've never had a walking taco at another basketball game.
Hey.
I don't know.
Hey, when you're at Hilton, you got to go try the hot dog. They're famous. They have hot dogs in their concession stand.
They also have day-old popcorn. It's.
I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm not going to do that, so don't get your hopes up.
Greg, thank you so much for the time. Have a safe trip to Ames, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Yeah, that is. I was going to say, like, why is it?
I'm kind of pissed off that they claim that. Where's Mel Weathermax? I feel like fighting someone from.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think you want to fight that guy, man.
Yeah. Well, should be an interesting game. Iowa State is not playing well right now.
Yeah, but things can turn quickly. You know, Kansas had lost three in a row. Then they turn around and they beat up on Kentucky and they get a good win against K-State back-to-back games. They just had to play a couple Wildcats, I guess. But
let's take a win. Go ahead, what?
Things turn around quickly is my point, you know, and so they'll be turned up, I think, on Saturday in Hilton.
I have an assignment for Marco Marquez. Let's take a break.
Nope.
And I would like to invite Todd Lebo into the studio for just a moment.
Oh, boy.
I need 5 minutes of his time.
Nope.
Todd was up there doing all kinds of work last night.
But I know because he might not be at the office yet.
Let me check. I'm in my cubicle right now. I haven't been out of it all day, so.
But as soon as he gets there, please ask him for a moment of his time, please.
It's going to cost you, but
air.
Okay.
No, that's fine. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, February 1st, Hump Day 2023. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up, we'll talk to Nick Lecky in the 9 o'clock hour. Todd is almost at work. And Lebo's going to visit us as soon as he gets there. He was at 4:35 and Nall at 8:32. So he should be pulling into the Union Broadcasting parking lot any moment now. We could ask him if he crossed paths with Travis Kelce last night at Allen Fieldhouse.
Or the wheel.
The all-world tight end was courtside for KU's victory over Kansas State 90-78.
Every time I think I can't possibly love Travis Kelce anymore, he goes and eats wheel pizza and gives the most perfect pizza rating I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
I love everything about Travis Kelce.
I don't love his back spasms, but no. I hope those go away soon. You know.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed like he was getting around fine yesterday.
Yeah.
He's got to get used to coming up to Lawrence now that the Bearcats going to be part
in the Big
12.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a big that's a big moment for him to get Cincinnati into the Big 12, and he'll be able to watch his school. But then he won't be rooting for Kansas, Nate.
Well, we don't know that.
It will hurt you.
We don't know that.
Well, I mean Mahomes roots for Texas Tech against everyone.
Yeah, but he might have a different relationship with his school than Mahomes has with his. You never know.
I don't know. It seems like he loves the Bearcats, but that's all right.
It's okay.
He should.
He loves him some wheel pizza, which makes me happy.
You don't want him
right
to. You don't want him to turn on his school.
No, well, I'm fine. He could cheer for the Jayhawks whenever he feels like it.
He's a real one.
Yeah, he's Travis Kelce, man. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
He's the GOAT.
Include curse on the airwaves.
Well,
not limited to.
Somebody has to enable him for that to happen.
Yeah.
That man's name was Mark.
Hey, the second time we played the clip, he bleeped out all the cuss words, not just some of them. So I give Marco credit for that.
There was, we mentioned back spasms. There was some, we didn't get any updates from Andy Reid about injuries. But there was a couple of updates from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN yesterday. First, he tweeted out that Willie Gay is optimistic about playing in the Super Bowl despite hurting his shoulder Sunday versus Cincinnati, per source. Early tests were encouraging. And then he tweeted, indications are Patrick Mahomes came out of Sunday's game without any major setbacks on the high ankle sprain, was told he's in good shape post-game. And that was the other thing. Clearly, the most important thing was to win that game, but then you wondered, will Mahomes tweak his ankle or aggravate his ankle anymore? And he did say during the post-game press conference that the worst moment of the game as far as his ankle was when he had the fumble and he awkwardly tried to pick it up and recover that fumble, and that's when he said he tweaked it the worst during the game. And that makes sense because, you know, when you have a fumble like that and the ball's on the ground, you know, all hell breaks loose. You're just trying to get the football back, and you forget about your ankle. And you could kind of tell, like, as he awkwardly tried to pick it up, he did something. And that, even after that happened, I was, oh, no, you know, please. But the good thing is, according to Jeremy Fowler, that no major setbacks even though he did play in pain. And like you said, he tweaked it when he tried to recover that fumble. Looks like he's in good shape postgame. So positive positive reports on Willie Gay and Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce should be fine. I'm with Matt Derrick. I got a video of Juju Smith-Schuster walking up the tunnel, very painfully walking up the tunnel. And so I'm concerned about him. Legarius Sneed going up the tunnel was jumping up and down and ran up to the crowd that gathers there and was giving them all high fives. He looked good. If you watched him, you would not have guessed, hey, he just suffered a really bad concussion in that game an hour ago or 2 hours ago. So, I mean, and look, there's more to it than just being able to run over and smack high fives with people. But he looked good in the tunnel after the game, so that's promising. And Kadarius Toney looked good as well. But then, you know, Mecole Hardman looked all right, but you just worry because that's a reaggravation of the same injury that held him out for so long. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Todd Lebo after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Do we have Todd Lebo in studio?
Yes.
Play the happy birthday montage. This big baby boy, how old are you today? Huh?
I'm a prime number. There's a hint for
55.
You. That's not a prime number.
I don't remember what prime numbers are.
It's divisible by just one in itself.
You're not seven, are you?
I'm not seven.
57.
I'm over 50.
It's divisible by what?
Itself and one only. 55 is divisible by 11 and 5.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know.
Lucky got that one.
Look, I dropped out of math as soon as possible.
All right, so let's go through this.
53.
There you go, Marco. I'm 53.
You were so sure.
I was like, come on, I know this one. There's a common,
you know your prime numbers?
Of course not.
One.
Clearly, I don't even know what one is.
Three. That's next.
Seven.
One. Seven.
13.
11.
Ah.
Then 13. Yeah. Keep going.
17.
17. You got it, buddy. Go.
I can learn.
Yeah, you can.
See old dog learn a new trick. So
old
here.
Dog learn trick. Yes, I'm 53. I'm now finally as old as my wife, who's been 53 for 3 weeks.
Oh, boy.
She's been with
Shots
a younger
fire.
Man for the last 3 weeks. She told me this morning,
right.
Oh, you're finally as old as me. So
she'll never,
exactly
you'll never
right.
be as old as her.
Mm-mm.
Where? So what are you doing for your birthday?
Well, I came here to work, and that's what I'm going to do.
Tonight?
Well, we're probably going to go have a healthy salad somewhere.
Maybe a seafood right. dinner, red lobster.
Get a salmon salad.
I'm going to get something healthy because...
Wow. Nick Leckie's jersey number in college?
53, prime wow. number. So something healthy, because we, you know, I got my physical on Friday, and I've put some pounds on the last, like, 8 months because I'm lazy. And so I don't want to add on right here at the end. So
why don't you eat some of these pretzels from
well,
Pretzel
yeah,
Boys?
Well, yeah, it's great that Pretzel Boys
yeah,
brought some carbs
in here.
Me.
Healthy.
Did you go to the wheel with Travis Kelce last night?
I came home directly after postgame was over last night, and I made it home at 11. It's pretty good.
Did
my
you get
goal
to a
was to get home
bar.
By 11. I did eat a dilly bar, which I shouldn't have at halftime, and I ate Bill Self macaroni and cheese from 23rd Street Brewery because that's the pregame meal, and Matt Llewellyn dolloped it on my plate for me, and he gave me more than I needed, but I ate it all.
For people that don't know what that is, describe what kind of macaroni cheese it is.
It's shells and very rich cream cheese sauce. And, a fried buffalo chicken bites on top of it. It is
damn.
So good.
Yeah.
It is awesome. And just a little bit would be fine. I don't need it all, but I ate it all. I got a lot of salad,
first of
too,
all,
though.
There's not a healthy thing in that. I mean, it is delicious.
Chicken?
Yeah. If I peeled the breading off the chicken, it would be pretty good.
It's so delicious. You just keep eating it. You know,
I didn't go back and get more. So anyway, he gave me more than I needed, but I ate that. Then I went at halftime because it was 85 degrees where up in the press seating where we were. I was dying. So I went downstairs to get cooled off, and then I go in and the dilly bars are laying out. Of course, I had a dilly bar.
Do you wish that the officials would have called more fouls?
Well, that's it. I was sitting up there, and I was sitting with these kids. I don't know them. I've been there a couple of times. They're from, like, the UDK and stuff. And we were just we were lamenting not enough free throws. We needed more free throws to extend the game longer, because that would be a lot of fun for everyone, really, to be there. Because it's the most exciting part of the game.
What was our intern Namdi doing there?
He's there grinding, working for Rock Chalk. Something, I think he was
Rock
doing the
Chalk
camera.
Video, my video, guy Mike yeah. Lickert, and right. I will. I'm not trying to take all the credit for it, but I did put in a recommendation for him.
There you go.
And he still got the job.
He did, and he's out there grinding it. He was excited.
Nami's
I said,
awesome.
You got to turn around and give me a smile That's for the guys. Good. I sent the picture out.
I will
guys.
Tell you this, if there's somebody out there listening that might take a piece of advice, people will give you recommendations.
If you're good.
If you're good.
Yeah.
And Namdi was one of the most positive, hardworking, energetic interns we've ever had. And so when he was telling me that he wanted to get into video production, I said, I'm going to call Mike Lickert, because he is the kind of, that's exactly where he needs to be. Rock Chalk Video is a great place to get all kinds of experience.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Namdi's great.
So the only thing Namdi has done bad is, you know, what he did to Phil. He's getting him over there, getting him indoctrinated
Phil's
into
the Phil's
getting
Lawrence. Pulled in a lot of you different know, directions
and,
right now.
And now not, Phil's
he,
has all a,
he doesn't
out.
Go anymore.
He doesn't yeah. go. He got somewhere he else. He drives on past, anymore. Doesn't he? he drives past.
He goes to Salina all the time.
Yes. So.
That's a long drive.
He's got a K-State woman. So.
It's worth the yeah. drive, as they say.
Phil has been pulled in many That's directions.
Right. You know what, though?
He's a rubber band Phil, man.
Phil, is that something that my dad was always able to do, and I've tried to be that way. Phil could be put in many different situations, and he could
flourish.
Quickly get acclimated. Yes, he'd flourish.
I had a fun time last
put
night over
somewhere.
There, though. I saw our good friend Jarrett Sutton at halftime.
He's
scouting. Over there scouting, and yeah. he really enjoyed the free throws as well. He thought that's what they want to see. and I saw, you know, Greg, obviously, Gurley, and I saw Stan and Wyatt talk to them. And
what did you think of the game itself?
You know, it's tough to watch those games with all those fouls called. I didn't think the game was super physical, but they call the fouls. That's what you do. You got to adjust to it. The place was lit. It was exciting. I guess they had overflow. Too many students came in. There wasn't room for them. They had them watching on a closed circuit TV in the back, a few hundred of them. So it was everything you want out of Allen Fieldhouse is what it was. It was great. I mean, it was just it's a wonderful atmosphere. And, you know, Travis Kelce was there. At the end of the anthem, the home of the Chiefs was as loud as I've heard it about anywhere outside Arrowhead. And then
who was he with? What former player was he with?
I don't know who that was. So
I
immediately get a text from my buddy Lance, and he's like, who's with Kelce? And I'm sitting too far up, I can't quite see. And I don't know who it is. And then I asked Bill Self after the game, and he said he introduced him, but he didn't know his name. He didn't know who he was, but he's someone who apparently, you know, I don't know who it was. So that place went crazy when they put him on the board, and KU did a nice job. They played Fight for Your Right to Party right after they showed him on the board, and the place went crazy. It was fun. People are excited about Kansas. People are excited about Kansas State. People are excited about the Chiefs. It was a great, great place to be last night. I wish the game had come down a little closer, more fun. For people like Marco, maybe they wished it was like 7 points instead of like 12 points,
right.
You know, on some of those deals. But you saw some good stuff, man. It's some weird things, too. You know, and Jerome Tang got a technical, and I asked him after the game, I said, you don't cuss, right? How'd you get this? He said he was too demonstrative. He just said no, and he swung his arms.
I do want to bring this up, though. I think this is a very interesting – I thought it was an interesting moment in the game that he got that. I don't think he minded getting the technical.
I think
there.
He definitely got his point across.
Yeah, I think he was more than willing to take it. And you see coaches do that sometimes, you know, if either they feel like they need to fire their team up or send a message. And I think – you know, Jerome Tang being a part of that Baylor staff that infamously, you know, walked mm-hmm. off the court and didn't watch the big hype up video and everything. They got some KU fans mad, but to me, I think you're going into Allen Fieldhouse. You know, hardly anybody wins there, and you're trying to send a message to yourself and to everybody else. we're not just here to lay down.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to fight, and we're here to try to win. And if I'm a K-State fan, I like that out of Jerome Tang. He is so positive, and he is so much about, you know, after the game in Manhattan, he's like, hey, we got, this is about love, this is about us, and that's great. But I think he also is like letting the message, well, that doesn't mean I'm a pushover here. I'm here to, you know, fight for myself.
You have to try in some way to get the crowd out of the game in Lawrence. You have to.
And you also have to try to make the refs consider more than just the crowd. Hey, you got to deal with me, too.
So you have to do, and they weren't making enough shots to get the crowd out of the game. Like, TCU got the crowd out of the game because they kicked Kansas' butt by making a bunch of shots. They weren't doing it, so he needed to do something to quell it because it was getting crazy at that point. And they fought hard. So, anyway, happy birthday.
I got to wrap this up the right way. I'm going to ask you one more time. What are you doing tonight for your birthday?
I'm going to go get a healthy salad with my loving
wife. No.
And I'm going to watch Bedlam at 8 o'clock, I think.
Birthday Bedlam at 8 o'clock.
Yes. We'll see if Oklahoma follow up their win over number 2 Alabama with probably a 20-point loss. Right. So, I don't know.
Did you see what Alabama did last night?
They were up 50 at one point, weren't they?
They won against Vanderbilt 101-44.
There you go. Maybe Vanderbilt. Oklahoma should join the SEC so they could beat Alabama and Vanderbilt in basketball.
Right. Birthday Bedlam tonight. And finally, I made a nice birthday post for you on Facebook. Which of those three pictures is your favorite?
I'm going to go look at these things from the Super Bowl where we had...
One of them is. Two of them are.
We had a lot of birthday celebrations at the Super Bowl, didn't we?
Right. Which one do you like?
Oh, my God. I just
my favorite my is the one of me.
My glasses. Oh, boy.
One of me. Yeah. I like the one of me feeding you at a fancy restaurant while Dana White looked on from a table over.
Yeah, that's a really good picture. I think I like the one just after the game of us smiling. That's probably the
best
one. I don't think us and you as Rip, and I don't know who I am there. Am I Lloyd?
Jimmy.
Am I Jimmy? Okay, I'm Jimmy. I'm too fat for Jimmy.
Yep. You getting ready to leave town?
I'm gonna
talk about my friend Todd that way.
I'm gonna like this, or should I love it?
Can you love it?
I'm gonna love
it. Care for it.
I'm gonna hug it. There you go.
Happy birthday, Todd.
Thank you, Stephen.
We will talk to Nick Leckie after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.